Part 1. The Boys Who Escaped from Wolves. 1975. Chapter 1. The Point and the Flats. When Sean Devine and Jimmy Marcus were kids, their fathers worked together at the Coleman candy plant and carried the stench of warm chocolate back home with them. It became a permanent character of their clothes, the beds they slept in, the vinyl backs of their car seats. Sean's kitchen smelled like a fudgesicle, his bathroom like a Coleman choo-choo bar. By the time they were 11, Sean and Jimmy had developed a hatred of sweets so total they took their coffee black for the rest of their lives and never ate dessert. On Saturdays, Jimmy's father would drop by the Devines to have a beer with Sean's father. He'd bring Jimmy with him, and as one beer turned into six, plus two or three shots of Dewars, Jimmy and Sean would play in the backyard, sometimes with Dave Boyle, a kid with girls' wrists and weak eyes who was always telling jokes he'd learned from his uncles. From the other side of the kitchen window screen, they could hear the hiss of the beer can pull tabs, bursts of hard, sudden laughter, and the heavy snap of Zippos as Mr. Devine and Mr. Marcus lit their luckies. Sean's father, a foreman, had the better job. He was tall and fair and had a loose, easy smile that Sean had seen calm his mother's anger more than a few times, just shut it down like a switch had been flicked off inside of her. Jimmy's father loaded the trucks. He was small, and his dark hair fell over his forehead in a tangle, and something in his eyes seemed to buzz all the time. He had a way of moving too quickly. You'd blink, and he was on the other side of the room. Dave Boyle didn't have a father, just a lot of uncles, and the only reason he was usually there on those Saturdays was because he had this gift for attaching himself to Jimmy like lint. He'd see him leaving his house with his father, show up beside their car half out of breath, going, "What's up, Jimmy?" with a sad hopefulness. They all lived in East Buckingham, just west of downtown, a neighborhood of cramped corner stores, small playgrounds, and butcher shops where meat, still pink with blood, hung in the windows. The bars had Irish names and Dodge darts by the curbs. Women wore handkerchiefs tied off at the backs of their skulls and carried mock leather snap purses for their cigarettes. Until a couple of years ago, older boys had been plucked from the streets as if by spaceships and sent to war. They came back hollow and sullen a year or so later, or they didn't come back at all. Days, the mothers searched the papers for coupons. Nights, the fathers went to the bars. You knew everyone. Nobody except those older boys ever left. Jimmy and Dave came from the flats, down by the penitentiary channel on the south side of Buckingham Avenue. It was only 12 blocks from Sean's street, but the Devines were north of the Ave, part of the Point, and the Point and the flats didn't mix much. It wasn't like the Point glittered with gold streets and silver spoons. It was just the Point, working class, blue collar. Chevys and Fords and Dodges parked in front of simple A-frames and the occasional small Victorian. But people in the Point owned. People in the flats rented. Point families went to church, stayed together, held signs on street corners during election months. The flats, though, who knew what they did? Living like animals sometimes, tend to an apartment, trash in their streets. Wellyville, Sean and his friends at St. Mike's called it. Families living on the dole, sending their kids to public schools, divorcing. So while Sean went to St. Mike's parochial in black pants, black tie, and blue shirt, Jimmy and Dave went to the Lewis M. Dewey School on Blackston. Kids at the Louis and Dewey got to wear street clothes, which was cool, but they usually wore the same ones 3 out of 5 days, which wasn't. There was an aura of grease to them. Greasy hair, greasy skin, greasy collars and cuffs. A lot of the boys had bumpy welts of acne and dropped out early. A few of the girls wore maternity dresses to graduation.